Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Child Care. I'm Cindy Croft, Director of the Center, and I'm here today with my two colleagues, Priscilla Weigel and Dia Anderson. Hi, girls.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, so happy to be here again doing our podcasting. And we have just been visiting among ourselves about our Inclusion Matters and talking about the why. Why does Inclusion Matters? Why to our audience? Why are they listening and why are they coming to our podcast to listen to us talk about inclusion and why it's important to them? Mm-hmm. So maybe you could tell us a little bit, Priscilla, about what we're thinking about today in our podcast.
Well, we were thinking about the fact that oftentimes when maybe a parent of a child that's developing typically is part of your child care, or maybe you have a child that has some needs, what about them being in a setting with their same age peers who have different abilities, what about that situation is creating good development for them in looking at all their developmental domains? So what we thought we'd talk about is just how being an inclusive child care provider, what does that mean? What are you providing that encourages the language development, the social, emotional, the motor, and the cognition of not just the child with special needs that's in your care or with the child that maybe has some delays, but what is that encouraging just across the board for all the kids in your care too?
Right, and we know that we have lots of research that supports the benefits of inclusion for kids with disabilities, for kids without disabilities, for families of kids with and without disabilities, for the providers who are doing the inclusive child care. So we have a lot of research that backs us up. And for those who are interested, they can go to our website to the search bar and they can search for that research and they can find some research synthesis points that we have, papers that we have around inclusion and the benefits. So we know that's all out there. Mm-hmm. But I think to your point, speaking specifically, for instance, about what kind of gains are made for children without disabilities around language and communication, as well as kids who have specific disabilities.
Mm-hmm. And one example comes to mind just with a program that I have been visiting lately, too. There's a child that is in the program that has some delays in his language skills, but the fact that he is learning and playing and spending his time with peers that are maybe just a little bit ahead of him as far as language development is creating some encouragement for him. He wants to communicate with his peers, and his peers want to communicate with him, and the fact that the teacher, the provider, has encouraged them all to be more patient with each other and to take time to look at someone when they're speaking to you or to not run away if they take longer to say something. So that's a benefit for the child who's developing typically, and then the child who has the delay is encouraged to practice talking with kids who are speaking a lot mm-hmm. and maybe a lot more than he is. Mm-hmm. So there's language all around him, and that just being in a language-rich environment we know encourages language development. So just the fact that when he started, he wasn't using any words to communicate, and now he is. And he maybe is using one or two word phrases where his peers are maybe using sentences. But still, they figure out what he wants, and they're understanding what he's trying to get from them. And it's exciting, and you can see the confidence in his skills growing and in his own abilities, and then you can also see that compassion and confidence in his peers saying, yep, I'm helping him out. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, the provider saying, oh, you taught him a new word today. That's exciting. We can use that and we can keep practicing with him. So that's just one example of how that communication piece can really be spurred on.
Well, and I think we know, too, that, you know, just for children in general, their peers are much more motivating to them than adults. Mm-hmm. They
Great
really
point.
Want to be with their peers, and they want to fit in, and they want to model what they're doing. So basically, in what you're saying there is that, you know, it's motivating for that little guy to begin to push himself a little in the communication mm-hmm. aspect, and then the other children are learning patience and understanding, and those are life skills that are going to be very helpful for them.
Right. And also friendship skills, you know, to move on to the social-emotional realm of things, that you can be friends with someone that's different than you are, that maybe, maybe if the child has a physical disability, a child will look at that child and say, oh, they're not like me. But helping, when you're spending time playing together and growing together, what you realize is we're all kids. We like the same thing. We like to play. We like to laugh. We like to listen to music. We like to play games. We like to build, whatever. All those things, and that whole compassion piece, that patience, that joy of helping someone that you care about make a milestone, or you see a new skill develop. Oh, look at that. He did it. And I helped him. Oh, and not that kind of mothering that I think could easily be happening, but just that true, I like you because of who you are and what you add to my day. And sometimes as providers, we need to point those things out to kids too, because they don't necessarily figure it all out, but we can say it out loud and can say, oh, boy, I didn't even know you knew how to whistle. Wow. Just think, if we wouldn't have had you here today, that song would have went along and we wouldn't have had anyone to whistle.
Exactly. This is important, too, in a larger context of what we know about the Americans with Disabilities Act, where we think about moving children in their development in groups, moving them up with their same-aged peers, chronologically rather than developmentally. And sometimes parents may say, well, they feel more comfortable if their child, say, stays in the toddler room, maybe with kids who aren't ambulatory yet, because they're a little nervous about their child going into a room where, you know, everybody's running. And while that's understandable and we want to be gentle with parents, we know, first of all, we know that's the best practice and it's also supported by the law. But we know, because of these developmental reasons, that we want children to be with their same-aged peers for all of these kind of gains, these communication gains, speech gains, and then these important friendship skills that three-year-olds get from other three-year-olds.
Right.
You know.
Well, and I think, Cindy, what you were saying brings up a good point, in that if you keep a child, you know, let's say it's a three-year-old and you're going to keep them in the toddler room, you know, that those that are caring for that child, their expectations then for that child are going to be those of a toddler.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they move on with their peers, you have different expectations. And we know that, you know, if you expect nothing, you get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just allows us to have better expectations, maybe higher expectations for a child than we would if they stayed in that more comfortable type setting.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very good point.
Yeah. And children are amazing. They rise to the occasion. They do. Those expectations are higher. They will rise to it because they know you believe in them, that you are there to support them and help them through that too.
Right. And I think always with children with developmental issues, or even some kinds of really chronic or severe disabilities where maybe developmental gains are going to be less obvious or smaller over time. The benefit to the child who doesn't have the disability really can't be measured in terms of the kinds of value that they'll learn in respect and in becoming a better friend to people who aren't exactly like them, but in whom they can see, as you said, similarities but also differences, but being able to learn to honor those differences. That just can't be measured, even if the gains for some children will be incremental. Some children will make some bigger gains, some children will make smaller gains. We don't know. We can't make promises to parents, but we always, as you say, keep our expectations high for every child. But for the child without the disability, there are incredible gains that are made in an inclusive environment.
Well, even if you think about just the condition of society right now, being different is not okay. It's got a negative connotation to it. And by having children be with peers and understanding that we're all the same in some ways and we're all different in some ways, I think it's just, it's going to help just with the future of our society, mm-hmm. too, and that in general people will just be more accepting of one another.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, that's a great way to close this, Dia, and I think that's a great sentiment for closing this part one of this podcast, and then we'll continue in part two and look at some of the other developmental domains that really assert why inclusion matters. So thank you both very much.
Thank you.
That's all for now. See you next time.